to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Friday, September 20th, 2013, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here is a look at what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, the House votes to reduce spending for Obamacare. Then, a loving liberal professor wishes death for NRA members' children. And less than half of Americans want stricter gun laws. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
That kid, they're gonna murder that kid if we don't do something about it. I wanna beat somebody's ass right now.
And so, our message to the United States Senate is real simple. The American people don't want the government shut down, and they don't want Obamacare. Yeah.
In a testament to real grassroots movements, the Republicans passed their funding bill today. It's going to keep the government open while shutting down Obamacare. Republicans said the move was designed to put some Democratic senators on the spot, naming several who are up for re-election next year. Democrats said the bill was an outrage that exposed Republicans' true intention of trying to force a government shutdown. This isn't a victory for the Republican Party. Their leadership wanted to pass a purely symbolic vote. This is actually a victory for we, the people. With the help of the authentic media, we got to the bottom of Obamacare and we realized we don't want it. So rather than allow Congress to pass a purely symbolic bill, we demanded a showdown. Now, in other news, could the mass shooting that took place earlier this week have been prevented? Aaron Alexis, like other mass killers before him, left a trail of telltale signs that were minimized, misinterpreted, or plain out ignored. The New York Times reports that daily logs kept by hotels Aaron was staying in detailed how on successive nights he knocked on doors to find these voices. He woke up a person in one room and frightened another so badly that she asked to move. Then came a call from his employer. A Residence Inn employee noted in a log dated August 7th that Brenda from the experts called regarding Mr. Alexis in 407. She explained that he is unstable and the company is bringing him home. The call from the company was placed 6 weeks before the mass shooting at the Washington Navy Yard this week, suggesting the company was concerned about his mental state, and it's raising questions about why he continued to be sent to Navy bases in different states to work on their computer systems. Now, Aaron Alexis complained to the police. He complained to his company. He complained to hotel employees. He really complained to anyone he could to get them to listen about these voices that were supposedly coming from a microwave machine. Was Aaron Alexis schizophrenic or was it a psyop?
As we're looking to the Navy Yard shooting, some strange evidence is turning up. Just before the shooting, Aaron Alexis purchased a shotgun. Not an AR-15, as Piers Morgan keeps telling people. But he purchased a shotgun, and he carved into the stock, "My Elf Weapon."
They mentioned it as cryptic etching that said, "My ELF Weapon." Well, it wasn't cryptic to him. He's worked in this field. So he knew exactly what he was being targeted with. The voices he was hearing didn't tell him to go run amok at the Navy Yard. He went to where he perceived the weapons coming from.
A lot of information is now surfacing about voices in his head. And the New York Times and other corporate media are painting a picture of someone who was insane but slipped through the screening process. But let's look at the timeline. Alexis was hired by the military subcontractor back in September 2012. On August 7th, the first incident of him reporting voices in his head was filed as a police report in Rhode Island. Then on August the 23rd, he goes to the VA emergency room in Rhode Island for sleeping pills. Those sleeping pills were trazodone. 5 days later, August 28th, he goes to a VA emergency room in Washington, D.C. for more sleeping pills. Just 5 days later, is he using them very heavily? Trazodone has been shown to have side effects of suicidal tendencies, panic attacks, depersonalization, and anger. The timeline shows that the first time Alexis heard voices in his head was August the 7th. So the question isn't just why or how he slipped through the screening process, but why the sudden onset of voices in his head.
You know, you can't discount mental illness. You know, especially being a physician, you've got to recognize that schizophrenics exist. For one, he's a little old. to just all of a sudden go schizophrenic.
Bingo.
Yeah, typically.
34? Typically it's like in your teens.
18 to 28. Yeah, typically.
Army has something they call voice to skull. We got the Air Force using microwaves to create sounds at Brooks Air Force Base. We got the Marine Corps with their Medusa project. We've got the State Department, as reported by the Washington Post in 2005, working on voices implanted in people's heads. So the military-industrial complex has been all over this. When you see something this wide, this is not just one little research project from one organization.
Voice of God weapon, which is actually called SQUAD, or Silent Sound Spread Spectrum, was used in the first Operation Desert Storm.
Let's go back to the August 7th report. There was a verbal altercation with an unknown party at the airport. He believes the individual that he got into an argument with had sent three people to follow him and kept him awake by talking to him and sending vibrations into his body. He said he first heard them talking to him through a wall while at the residence and in Middleton, then packed up and went to a hotel on the Navy base where he heard the same voices talking to him through the walls, floors, and ceiling. Then he moved to a third hotel and was currently at the Marriott. He said three individuals were speaking to him through the floor. He said the same individuals are using some sort of microwave machine to send vibrations to the ceiling, penetrating his body so he can't sleep. He said he never felt anything like this, and he's worried that the individuals were going to harm him. The on-duty sergeant reviewed the report, and because it was a naval-based connection, reported the incident to the Naval Station Police and faxed a copy to them. They said they would follow up. What was revealed today by the New York Times is that the defense contractor contacted the hotel about his behavior. So both the Navy and the defense contractor knew about the voices in his head on August 7th, about 5 weeks before the shooting. And we know that a SWAT team was in place at the time of the shooting and told to stand down. Were the voices schizophrenia or a psyop?
Being a medical doctor, I don't want to come across as everybody hearing voices is being victimized by technology. Certainly schizophrenia exists. For one, schizophrenia is not quite as common, I think, as the press has led people to believe. It's still severe schizophrenia, still a relatively rare disorder. Most of the victims that I've worked with can pinpoint the day that they started hearing voices and the day that they noticed organized stalking, people following them around. Typically, schizophrenics are identified from 18 years old to 28 years old, maybe a little later in females, but almost always at a young age. If you talk to schizophrenics about what they're hearing, typically it's God or angels or deities or garbled voices like you hear in a subway. The people that are being victimized by this technology are hearing the voices of people that are obviously watching them. Oftentimes they'll know the names of these voices because it's a two-way communication system. So they're hearing the people doing the surveillance talk to each other as well as talk to them. Typically it's their whereabouts in a room is being described, what they're dressed like is being described.
So it's kind of a form of harassment then.
Well, and that's exactly what the loose term for it is, electronic harassment. And the harassment over time will make you display signs of schizophrenia. When you go and tell people that you're hearing voices, we've been patterned to turnkey see that as schizophrenia and not even look to see if there's a legitimate source for it.
A sudden onset of hearing voices later in life than typical for schizophrenics, believing he was being harassed, not talked to by God. No previous mental illness. Friends surprised by his behavior. Could the voices in his head have been the same technology that the military-industrial complex is known to have been working on for over 15 years? For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
I want to clarify something. Are you saying that the medicine that they prescribed for him could have in some way been part of the reason why he acted out?
Well, interestingly enough, one of the medications that he received does have a side effect that could, in fact, have been a problem. However, that doesn't mean that it was. And that's why we're asking the VA for a little more information as to what they prescribed, why they prescribed it, how much was prescribed.
One person who refuses to blame psychotropic drugs is a University of Kansas journalism professor. David Guth says the blood is on the hands of the NRA, and he hopes in the future it would be their children who are killed. The statistics on gun control and gun-related deaths are readily available for anyone who wants to view them, yet there are still individuals who want to confiscate all firearms rather than address the issue of psychotropic drugs.
Right now, 90% of Americans... 90% support background checks that will keep criminals and people who have been found to be a danger to themselves or others from buying a gun.
I think Obama got his polls mixed up. He might have been talking about the 90% of Americans who didn't want a military strike against Syria, or the 90% disapproval rating the Americans gave Congress. The latest polls showing the number of Americans who want stricter gun laws is significantly lower than that.
I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars News Alert. The article on InfoWars.com reads, less than half of Americans want stricter gun laws. In a poll conducted by Gallup, 49% said gun laws should be more strict, with 13% saying they should be less strict. Those numbers have starkly changed from just 9 months ago. Perhaps this is due to Chicago, with some of the strictest gun laws in the country being deemed the murder capital of America. I've been to numerous gun rallies, both for and against stricter gun control, and I find that the majority of passersby are either content with the current gun laws or just impartial one way or the other.
You see these guys walking around with their firearms, right? Does that alarm you in any sense?
Not at all.
Not at all? So you see these guys, one guy's got an AK, one guy's looks like an AR over there, and that doesn't bother you one bit?
Not at all.
You can see this guy, you know, he has a, you know, big gun over there. And does that bother you at all? Does that make you feel scared?
No.
No? No, not at all. Chilling out. Yeah, see, he's feeling good. You feeling safe? You see this guy? Oh, it does make you feel safe. Hey, does it bother you at all if these guys are out here with their guns?
Hell no.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Not one bit?
Not one bit.
Excuse me, miss, does it bother you these guys are out here with their guns?
With their guns?
Yeah, look, the guy, turn around, let me see your gun.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit? But you see you got the troopers over there to protect you, right?
They have guns too.
Yeah.
Guns freak me out.
Sir, what do you think about all these guns out here?
I don't know, man.
Don't know? Excuse me, what do you guys think about all these guns out here?
We European, we're not the right person to ask, I don't think.
I just worry about those who don't know their gun, carrying it around.
And what about
someone
you?
Like me.
I feel the same way. My brother's big on the right to bear arms.
And the people who I find who are for stricter gun control want much more than reasonable measures.
I'll be brief. First of all, to the gentleman that's dying for attention, someone needs to inform him that there is no gun ban currently. But because of the work that we're doing here today, we will make your sign legitimate shortly.
Stop by the InfoWars shop and pick up a Come and Take It t-shirt to let them know you're not giving up yours without a fight. I'm Jakari Jackson, and this has been an InfoWars News Alert.
This is my rule book. This is the United States Constitution. And it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Do you have any comments to that, sir?
Nope. I'm all for it.
You're all for it.
I'm all for the Second Amendment.
All for it.
Coming up after the break, mega banks are still committing massive crimes. And then Gigi Urnetta is going to be speaking with Mark Blaxall of the Canary Party. They are a group standing up against the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which is a law that actually protects the vaccine makers and not the vaccine takers. Now, if you've enjoyed this so far, become a member of Prison Planet TV. Your subscription allows you to share your username and password with up to 10 other people. Share the transmission. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones Channel is the official page of the InfoWar. But don't miss what's happening on our other channels. The InfoWarrior, with the week's best videos. Prison Planet Live, where Paul Joseph Watson gives his expert analysis. And keep up with the rest of the InfoWars crew on our other pages. All of our videos are available to repost for educational purposes. See the sidebar of the Alex Jones Channel for the subscription links. And remember, you can always find our videos in the highest quality by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv.
It's been 5 years since the financial crisis and that big banker bailout. Well, big banks are still committing massive crimes, and you won't believe this list.
Laundering money for terrorists, funding the Nazis,
engaging in insider trading of the most important financial information, pushing investments which they knew were terrible, and then betting against the same investments to make money for themselves. Yet Ben Bernanke decided yesterday to continue pumping $85 billion a month into the economy. Here's what Ron Paul said about it.
But I think it's a major admission by Bernanke that things aren't good. He's literally saying we're in bad shape.
To solidify just how powerful our voices are when we actually exercise our First Amendment, it was public outrage that forced this mayor to kill his plans to fly the communist Chinese flag over City Hall.
It was Sam Leander City Councilman Benny Lee's idea to fly the Chinese flag on October 1st, a tribute to China's National Day, and a way to signal to Chinese investors that Sam Leander wants their business.
The spirit of partnership allows us to grow much quicker.
Economist Greg Autry charged that the city had been corrupted by the lure of Chinese money, adding that San Leandro was seeking to partner with a regime that has killed more people than any other on Earth. Considering the fact that the Chinese are now showing a keen interest in joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership, San Leandro isn't the only one who wants to partner with communists. The trade pact that's being fast-tracked by the Obama administration, largely in secret, may signal the absolute end of Buy American and the total takeover of global banks and corporations. There's another opportunity to occupy as members of the TPP are meeting in Washington right now. Now, coming up after the break, Gigi Urnetta is going to be speaking with Mark Blaxall of the Canary Party. They're standing up for victims of vaccines. We'll be right back.
Now you can watch the InfoWars nightly news streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
InfoWarsStore.com, a conscious and involved distributor of independently made products that support a healthy and aware community. Dive into cleaner waters with your own ProPure system and Pro1D filter. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. We've handpicked a veritable treasure trove of the best non-GMO seed banks on the market. And our selection of films showcases a wealth of knowledge outdone only by our books. Check for combo packs to multiply your savings. Wear your colors proudly with one of these conversation starters, now available in pink. Get prepared and fund the revolution at InfoWarsStore.com.
Today, Mark Blaxall joins me to talk about CanaryParty.org. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Gigi. It's great to be on.
So tell us about CanaryParty.org.
Well, Gigi, the Canary Party is a movement that was created to stand up for the victims of medical injury, environmental toxins, and industrial food. And we're really concerned about the just horrible explosion in childhood illness, vaccine injury, chronic illness across a number of population groups in America. And we're trying to do something about it.
When did you get involved with the CanaryParty.org?
Well, we've only been at it for a couple of years. I've been involved in activism for longer than that. I have a daughter who was diagnosed with autism about 15, 16 years ago, and so that was the wake-up call for me. I started just trying to do the normal things that a responsible parent would do. I got involved in science policy. I wrote some scientific papers. I ended up writing a book on autism called The Age of Autism. Then we started realizing that information is the battlefield. We started our own blog called theageofautism.com. And then I think increasingly realized that these issues aren't about the science. They're about politics. And we are fighting with pop guns against a lot more powerful people. And the only thing we can do is recognize that it is political and to try to mobilize politically, mobilize at the grassroots. There are a lot of us and try to recognize the nature of the struggle that we're in. So that's how we started the Canary Party. We've only been at it for a short while.
At what point did you notice that the vaccines were actually causing a problem? When did you have that awakening? Was it one particular thing that hit you?
Well, the awakening, Gigi, was, you know, when your own child is injured, you know, and when she was born perfectly normal and developing beautifully and developing speech and socialized and all that sort of thing. And then when you see your child go away, mm-hmm. And then you get, just almost it's not a death sentence, but it's a sentence of lifelong disability when you get a diagnosis of autism. That's a wake up call.
At what age did that happen?
We got the diagnosis when she was about 2 years, 9 months.
Wow. But,
she started to regress about a year or more before that. And then I think the thing you do as a medical consumer, you instantly you mobilize and say, what can I do for my child? And you go to all the usual suspects. You go to your doctor. You try to find the world's best experts. And the thing that you quickly realize if you're in the autism world is that all the world's greatest experts, and you put that in quotation marks, have no idea what they're talking about. They're pitching a story about autism and what's going on that is in total conflict with all the facts. They would tell us that it was genetic, that it was all in the brain, that there was nothing to do, there was no hope, there was no recovery. And if you reach out and just learn from your fellow parents, very, very quickly you learn that everything about that story was wrong. Most importantly, that there was a crisis, that rates of autism had exploded. My daughter was born in 1995, and I was in the middle of just an explosion of autism cases. And what you realize then is that the narrative doesn't include the idea that something must have happened to this generation of children, that you don't get a genetic epidemic, that when you see doubling, tripling, tenfold, 100-fold increases in the rate of autism, something must have happened. And then you ask the obvious question, well, what could it have been? And the thing that you quickly realize is that around 1990, shortly before, which is when the rates of autism went up, that's when they took the product liability shield, or they imposed a product liability shield onto vaccine manufacturers, and the vaccine schedule, the mandated vaccine schedule, took off. So that was sort of, you know, you take a deep breath and you said, oh, my Lord, that is so controversial. These people have so much power. They're going to fight this very hard. But that was my personal wake-up call for when I suspected the role of vaccines and their ingredients.
Was there one in particular that seemed to make it worse, or is it just a matter of volume or age?
Well, I think there's one ingredient, Gigi, that's particularly terrible, which is ethyl mercury. Organic mercury is one of the most toxic substances on the planet. I think it only trails plutonium. And they had it and still have it in vaccines that are injected into pregnant women and infants. And there's nothing more toxic that you can possibly imagine in your body being injected. That's a bad one. And then I think you just look at the overall intervention. You know, the childhood immune system is something that has been developed over thousands and thousands of years as we've evolved. It's a very delicate balance. It's one of the most sensitive and important organs that we have. And we've decided as a health policy to impose this massive human experiment, which is this explosion in the intervention in childhood immune development. And we've never tested that intervention for safety. It's kind of nuts. So I think the overall intervention and the explosion into this bloated childhood vaccine schedule that we've got is also pretty suspect as well.
Is there something in particular that they tell you, oh, you have to have it by this age because? Is there some kind of rhetoric that they're using? I mean, what's the hurry to have an infant vaccinated like that?
Well, they tell you that you have to get everything right on time. They don't discriminate. Once you get a vaccine on the schedule, they're all in. They don't make distinctions about which one is more important than any other. You know, I think that that there are some vaccines that are important. I am not an anti-vaccine person. I believe that vaccination probably ought to be rare but safe. And I think a lot of the things that we vaccinate against don't really require vaccination. But I, you know, one of the ones I liked, for example, is the rubella vaccine. If we had circulating rubella in the population, a pregnant woman who is infected with rubella will pass on some real risk of chronic disability to their unborn child. And so I think rubella vaccine is an example of a good vaccine. But there are a lot of them that are just nuts. But the public health authorities defend all of them as if every one of them is just the greatest gift to mankind.
Well, first of all, what is the excuse that they're saying they have to have mercury inside of these vaccines? Has anyone actually confronted them legally with this is mercury, it doesn't need to be in here? Has that happened?
Well, I think it's basically cost saving. Mercury is a preservative, and it allows you to have jumbo packs of vaccines so that you can reduce the packaging cost.
Yeah, but you could have a jumbo pack of plutonium. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean it's right for the child.
Of course, it's ridiculous to have it. But the thing that's happened, Gigi, is that we've protected all these vaccine manufacturers, we don't test these safety issues in a regular court of law. We test them in this program called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is a government program run by not by judges, but some beast called a special master. The Department of Justice defends the government program, and all of the normal protections that a normal consumer would have in a court of law are compromised in this program. It's a broken and abusive program, and we need to roll it back.
And how do we do that?
Well, a first step is that I think there's growing recognition that the program has veered wildly away from its original intent in Congress. And I think you can take issue with the law, and I do think the law that was passed back in 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act that created the VICP, was a mistake. But I think it's clear that back then there was a very noble intent among the authors and the congressional sponsors of that program. So I think there's a widening awareness that that program is seriously broken. And in November, we're all looking forward to a congressional hearing into the functioning of the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. That hearing's being held in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And so we're hoping that we'll be able to shine a light on the abuse that we see in the program, the fraud, the cover-up that we see among the bureaucrats that run the program, and the cost that that's imposing on American society more broadly.
And that act that was put in place in 1986, I believe it was, is there not any way to reverse it?
Well, like any act of Congress, it can be repealed, it can be reformed. I think the first step is to really investigate what the problems are with this act and shine a light on the people that have been running it.
Well, I suppose the best thing to do then is to create a Protection for the Citizens Act so that you can at least stop the vaccines from going out. You know,
well, I think any time you create a special protected class of product, you put at risk the well-known protections of courts of law and a free market. What we have here is the furthest thing in the vaccine market or in the vaccine program from a free market. We have the federal government researching and approving vaccines. We have them mandating vaccines, requiring them for entry into the school system. We have them covering the backs of the vaccine manufacturers if they do, in fact, cause injury. And so everything about this product is as far away from free choice, free markets, free rights of consumer redress that you could possibly imagine.
Mark, thank you so much for being here today, and we look forward to hearing what happens in November.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to learn more about the vaccine epidemic, go to InfoWarsShop.com and check out this combo pack. It is the Greater Good DVD and the Vaccine Epidemic. It's a book, and you can get both of them together at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm Gigi Arnetta. Thank you for joining me on the InfoWars Nightly News, and don't forget, next week at 7 p.m.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.